Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Shane and Bruce with you here on a Tuesday Sports Daily. 15 minutes from now, we'll talk to Dan Israel, have a little Chiefs chat. 1 hour from now, Jessica Kleinschmidt talking Kyler Murray and what he does next. Before we get to the Twitter question, stumbled onto a stat that I'm not quite able to wrap my head around. If you're a quarterback, don't you want a lot of time to throw? We've seen the miracles that Mahomes has pulled off. Pat Mahomes has pulled off extending plays this season. But he's thrown a league-high 10 interceptions when he's had 3 or more seconds to throw.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, two of those came against the Patriots in week 6.
Yeah.
The Patriots lead the NFL with 12 interceptions when a quarterback takes 3 or more seconds to throw this season, including the playoffs. I know a decent amount about football, but I don't know why that means something, and that's a thing. If you have quote unquote all day to throw and your favorite team's on defense, don't you get nervous? Like, oh God, yeah. He's eventually gonna find somebody, right?
Right.
Well,
yeah, I don't understand that. That I would have to delve deeper into that. That's a different metric. I don't know why.
Yeah.
That would be. That makes no sense.
And we'll talk to Dan about it here in a little bit, but wasn't that nice to see Sammy Watkins on the field? Just another weapon. Another weapon for the Colts at the time, and now the Patriots to have to worry about. And I mean, he had a couple of decent catches and runs after the catch, said he felt fine after the game when he was asked about his foot. So all hands generally will be on deck, you'd think. I don't know about Spencer Ware, but getting more and more reports, Bruce, that the temperature at kickoff is going to be around zero. Yeah.
Which, you know what?
I mean, that's colder than cold, man.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know. These guys are football players, and I think that a lot of us make these kind of statements based on our own experience. It's like, okay, would I want to go sit and watch a game in 1 degree?
Right.
Probably not. Those are tough conditions to watch a game in. These guys are so locked in. I don't know. Now, look, in baseball, I'll admit, and I considered myself a fairly tough guy, but 38 degrees to play baseball in when you've got a guy throwing 92 or 93 and they're
if you can get loose enough to throw 92, 93,
yeah,
there's that,
yeah.
You know?
Isn't that the truth? Right. Baseball's not a fun game in those kind of conditions, but baseball's not meant to be played in those, and it's not like football is meant to be played in those kind of conditions, but it is a physical game that you don't have to have optimum conditions to play it at a high level. You just don't. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's tough to get loose, but once you get out there and get going, I mean, you're playing for your life every play in football. I mean, you're going to get your head taken off if you're not playing at a really high level. At least, you know, you're concentrating and you're into your thing. I don't know. I just – people that worry about weather as it relates, I mean, really, do we think that the Chiefs or the Patriots who play the back half of their season in the Northeast are going to care about the temperatures or the conditions? I just don't see that as an issue.
All right. I hope not.
I don't know. Maybe not.
I hope not.
I mean, maybe.
869-1240 if you want to talk. The Twitter question is coming up here in a second. Let's go to Justin. Is that right? Yeah, Justin. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, thanks. Going back to what you were just discussing about quarterbacks and Lamar Jackson, I know futures. I mean, it seems like a lot of these teams are trying to, you know, put a square peg in a
round hole.
Mm-hmm.
Justin, do we lose?
What do you mean?
Justin, go do that again. We missed the you cut out. Start over.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. But yeah, I guess my first point would be kind of the Kirk Cousins when Minnesota went and got him. What was the need to do that? Why go get a riskier, a higher risk taking quarterback? You know, when you got a team that needs efficiency and is loaded with, you know, talent everywhere. And then there was Darnold. I don't know why the Jets would get Darnold. I thought, you know, try and find a way to get Rosen. And I think Trubisky is a pretty decent fit with Chicago. I think they'll work out well because, you know, their game plan is always just kind of try to muscle it out and, you know, out-defend a team.
Well, but okay, hold on. Let's get back to your Kirk Cousins question because the rookies, you know, that's hindsight being perfect if you thought that was a good fit, a rookie in a particular place. The Vikings were really close to being a Super Bowl team.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was going to pay Kirk Cousins a lot of money for a lot of years. And yeah, maybe looking back, it wasn't the greatest decision in the world, but I think you could do a lot worse than Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, where they had a really good team already in place with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, a two-headed running back, Kyle Rudolph, and at the time a really good defense. So I don't find much fault with Minnesota going after Kirk Cousins because you got a pretty much a proven commodity. And if you don't want to go there, you draft a rookie and really take your chances.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at, Justin. I appreciate the call, but to mix in Kirk Cousins and then start talking about the Jets should have taken Rosen instead of Donald and or Darnold.
Well,
and
yeah.
I mean, that's
and
just
we don't
a,
know
that's
where
just
we
a,
are with Josh Rosen. We don't know where we are with Darnold either. I mean, we just don't know yet. But those are the guys that you take the chances on.
Yes, you're rebuilding. You need a rookie quarterback to lead you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and it's a time-honored argument. Do you work through free agency like so many teams have done, like the Kansas City Chiefs, by the way? Go back and look at their quarterback history. I mean, you're looking at, in Patrick Mahomes, you're looking at the first home-developed quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs since who?
Not even Lynn Dawson. Lynn Dawson
right.
wasn't even original
Lynn
Chief.
Lynn Dawson came from somewhere else.
Pittsburgh, I think.
Yeah, from Pittsburgh or something or other. So it's, I mean, it's hard to do. It really is hard to do. It's a challenge to do. And the challenge is magnified by just what we were talking about. The fact that it's such an important position and you can't win without really good quarterback play. You just can't.
And the key is
the other.
And the key is to get really good quarterback play most of the time when that quarterback is on the cheap. So you can pay other people
exactly
other positions around him and take advantage of a kind of a bargain bin quarterback because he's on his rookie contract. Arsenio,
no
HRO
question.
Twitter question at KFH Radio if you want to find it, retweet it, vote on it, and all that good stuff. Of these backup types, who would be your best stopgap quarterback in 2019? Joe Flacco, Nick Foles, Teddy Bridgewater, Tyrod Taylor.
Ooh.
Nick Foles running away with it. Yeah. Foles getting 78% of the vote. Flacco's getting 14%. This is a what have you done for me lately result in this poll, I feel like, because Foles is at top of mind and Flacco's been gone for a while. You put, I don't want to crown this guy necessarily or call him elite like the silly argument we had probably 4 or 5 years ago, but in the right situation, I don't hate Joe Flacco. And
no, I don't either.
And if you put an equal amount of weapons around them both, I'd probably take Flacco instead of Foles. Now, Flacco is probably going to be more expensive, although who knows? If Foles opts out of that, if he buys himself out of Philadelphia and they don't put the franchise tag on him, for example. And I like Nick Foles. I was kind of secretly pulling for him against the Saints. I didn't care who won the game, but I wanted him to do well. And he kind of fell off the map after the first quarter. Their whole team did. But I think there's still a little football left in Joe Flacco. I guess that's my
point. I think there is. I think there's football left in Joe Flacco. I think Flacco would be my pick of those four. Let me ask you a question.
All right.
Foles or Wentz moving forward in Philadelphia?
And what? And if that's a real question, what could you get for Carson Wentz?
Exactly. I mean, if it is a real question.
It should be.
I'm not so sure it is a real question. That's my point. It's like, what would make Carson Wentz a hands-down choice over Nick Foles right now based on what we've seen in the last 2 years?
That'd be interesting. Interesting hypothetical. Dan Israel's next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.